A good week, wonderful week. Went to the preacher fellowship this past Thursday, and I was asking one of the preachers over there. I says, "How you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "not too good right now." I said, "Why? What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I just don't feel good." I said, "Well, you ought to feel great." I said, "You're above the ground, ain't you? Ain't you above the grass and the weeds?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you ain't been choked down yet, have you?" But I tell you what, I know we can all, you know, we all can get by ourselves, and we can wonder about why this happens and why that happens. But you know something? I come to realization that is the reason we do that is because we done got lukewarm on the Lord. We're not cold and we're not hot. But in me saying that, you know where I'm going to go to. I'm going to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading with verse 13. I'm going to back up. Let's start at verse 12. Verse 12 down to verse 16 or 17. But I want to bring you a message today on this thought. How many of you during the week, and the things that we have to face and the things that we have to hear from other people, because we cannot really really get our ears to the point of where they're completely turned off, especially when somebody's all this cursing and everything's going on. But you know, we need to stand up, and we need to, like the song said, we need to stand up for Jesus, because he's the reason that I'm here this morning, and he's the reason that you're here, and he is the very reason that we can get in his word and understand it. We may not understand the verse, the scripture that we may be studying at that particular moment, but we don't have to dwell on that. The only thing we need to dwell on, we need to dwell on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to dwell on the one that helps him to help us and to edify us. And we must speak out. We should not ever be ashamed, like in Paul said over in the book of Romans. In chapter 1 and verse 16, I believe it is, where, you know, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of preaching his word. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel either, because I'm not ashamed of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ." But there are so many people today that are ashamed of him. But verse 12, he says right here, said, and that's in chapter 3 of the book of Revelations. And it says, it's right here, says, the very first, the title of it is the revelation of Saint John the Divine. No, it should, I think it should read, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we know that what he's speaking here, because we know that God given John here the ability to be able to write and to pin down the words that God had given him. And we thank him for that. But here in chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, it says, "Laodicean church." But it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angels of the churches of the Laodicean writes, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, that true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have not nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You can put any kind of title you want to on what we've just read. But we see where it's speaking as Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is doing the writing here. He's doing the speaking here. What Jesus Christ is telling me, and he's telling you this morning, that he is conveying to the Father there in heaven, that for the people, that he's got so sick that he can't even walk, that he can't even do what he should do, because he's so sick. He's so sick to the stomach. And what brought that sickness? It wasn't the cold. It wasn't the hot. It was the lukewarmness. You know, this week my wife saw something that, and I've been trying it, and kind of rough taking it. But what it is just taking some vinegar and some water, or the orange juice, either one, and some honey, and just putting it in a little small glass, about that much, stirring it up. And they say what it will do, it will eat away the love handles, or the fatter in your belly, or whatever. Well, I mean, I got too much of that, and I need somebody to help me. And if it's going to take vinegar to do it, you know, I want to do it. But you know, in taking, when I took the first sip of it, it kind of brought a different taste to my buds. When it went down into my stomach area, I could tell something there was getting a little off. I was getting kind of nauseous. But you know something, the Lord Jesus right here, he says, I'm not nauseous. And I just don't have an upset stomach. I am sick, and I am tired of people thinking that they can have me and have the world also. You cannot do it. You either got to serve one or the other. So many people today, they want to say they're serving God, but yet in the life that they live and the things that they're doing, you see they're more serving more of the world than they are even giving God any praise at all, even in thinking about God's goodness and God's mercy. You know, I don't have to come up here and preach a hellfire, a brimstone message. I don't have to preach a hellfire, and I don't have to preach all that. What we need to do is we need to preach about God's precious love. His love. Because you know something, that sinner that's out here, that I'm hoping and praying that maybe someday they'll come in. And I'm hoping, praying that maybe within the Jubilee that we'll have some people come in. And I don't know the people. I don't know the hearts of the people. None of us do. You don't know my heart. I don't know your heart. But we have a testimony of a heart. And what is the testimony that we have? Is it testimony that we will want to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it the testimony we want to please the world? A whole lot of time I believe that people has got more of the testimony of the world in the life than they need, than they have God. And I know, and don't get me wrong, don't get me on wrong on this. I know that there's people out here saved. I know there are. But they won't come to church. Why? See, the world has so much more to offer them. But see, what the world has to offer them, they have to pull out the wallet, or they have to open up their purse, and they have to grab a hold of the monetary goods that they have. They either have to go into their wallet to get the money out, and then if they ain't got enough, maybe dollar bills or 20s or 10s or 5s or whatever, if they ain't got enough of them to pay for what they want and what they think that they need, then they'll pull out something that's not no resemblance at all of the dollar bill, the $5 or $10, the $20 bill, or even the $100 bill. And there's a little thing about that loan. And what it is, it's a credit card. I think people, I can say this because at one time, I really not believe the same thing. I don't have any now. But it's not because that the Lord maybe take care of them and get rid of them. But you know, sometimes we just have to go back and look at the Word of God. You know, in God's Word, it speaks about fasting. We must fast. Today, the people today, you talk about fasting now. The people today say, well, I'm going to fast for 40 days. But yet, you will see them out at Burger King, Ari, Weston Sisley, Golden Corral. You know what it is? They took the word feast, fasted. They think that that's what it means, that we must feast. We must go ahead and feast on it because somebody else has it offered to me. No. What fasting is and feasting is what we must fast away from the things of this world and the sin that so easily beset us and the sin that will call us to have the separation from God. And not only that, do we need to be an individual that's ready to fast for the Word of God. That's what we need to get hungry on. We need to get hungry on the Word of God. And we know that we're right here in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2 says, it speaks about the lukewarmness and the concerning sin. Concerning sin, the lukewarmness, the concerning sin. God's people are asleep. We're asleep. We can be wide awake. We think we're listening to what's going on, but yet we're asleep. Why are we asleep? Because we're lukewarm. We don't have no concern about the people that's around us. We don't have the concern for our families. We don't have concern for the people that we work with. Why? We don't have no concern. We don't have no consideration that the life that they're in is because of that one word, S-I-N. It's sin. And don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm up here and I'm standing before you, a perfect individual, that I have never sinned. Nope, because that will be a barefaced lie. I will be done told you a lie. Because his word says, for all. He didn't say for just one or two. He didn't say just for maybe 1,000. He said for all. And he's speaking to all individuals. For all have sinned. And what does it say, rest? We come short of what? The glory of God. We've come short of all of his glory, all of his manifestation, all his blessings. I just wonder if we don't just say, I don't need no more blessings. Lord, you don't bless me enough. I don't need no more. I don't know of anybody that could not use a blessing from the Lord. I mean, I can. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, well, if you don't want a blessing from the Lord, then I tell you what. I want you to pray right now that the Lord will give me my prayer to you. Say, Lord, I don't need your prayers. You've done so much for me. So, Lord, what blessing that you have ready for me this coming week? Lord, how about taking them and dividing them up and giving them to somebody else? You know, if the Lord allows that to happen, that right there is a blessing. Because we could not have done that much without him. Our lukewarmness is the concerning of souls. We're not concerned about souls anymore. We're not concerned about that individual that's going to die and go to hell. And we know what it is. We know what hell is all about. And it's not nothing that's going to be pleasant. Something's going to be awful there. It says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me, refused, failed me. No man cared for my soul. This is an individual right here that has died and went to hell. And he's saying right here, there was nobody concerned about me. You say, well, if he feels that way, well, why didn't he come to the Lord? Why didn't he just come to church? Well, a whole lot of times the reason people don't come to church is because of the way that the Christian lives. Because of what so many things the Christians may do. Hey, I know I'm not perfect. I'm not mature enough. I'm still a babe in Christ growing every day. But I'll tell you what. My prayer is that nothing is in my life that will hinder somebody else in not coming to church. And if it is something, I pray to God that they will just come and just say, preacher, I need to talk to you. Says, I know church service is about ready to start, but I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you in private. And if they come to me and they say, the reason I don't come to church is because of this or that, or because of something that you said and I didn't agree with. You know, I don't say everything right. It's a whole lot of things that I say is wrong. But I don't do it intentionally. I don't do it because I don't love the people. I love the people. I love all people. I love the white. I love the black. I love the yellow. I love the green. I mean, I even love the individual I hear that's doing the things right now that God's not pleased with. But have you ever thought about this? Thank you, Lord. And I just come, and he just gave me this. Have you ever thought about this? The reason the Lord's not pleased with us, I think the Lord is not pleased with us more than he's not pleased with the individual that's I am seeing. Because, see, we know what's right. We know what the Word of God tells us to do. But yet we won't do it. So then God says, hey, you know what is right. You won't do it. The people outside of them doors, only thing they know to do is what they feel in their heart and the right of what they feel. And what they have in their heart is sin. And naturally, that's what they're going to devote their life to. We need to devote our life more to the Lord than we ever have before. It's not going to be long before the Lord returns. Even with the new president that we have, and even what he's trying to do around the world, and what he's standing on, still, it's just a moment away. I think what we need, I'm not going to say that. I know myself, it's for my own self. What I need to say to myself. Say, Donnie, what you're doing, is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it pleasing to the Lord enough the way he really wants to come back? He wants to come back to take the church out. Sometimes we hinder that. We ourselves will hinder the work of the Lord. We'll hinder the return of the Lord Jesus. We can also have the concern that we don't have anymore. We used to have it. The concern that was upon me right after I first got saved, I mean, it was strong. But where is it at now? Am I as strong as I was then? If I'm not, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. But the lukewarmness that is in the Christians today, they are not separated enough. They're not separated enough. We don't want to separate ourselves from the things that we hold dear to us. And a whole lot of times that thing that we hold dear to us we don't want to ever say it, but we hold that dear to us more than we hold to the Lord. The Lord is not as dear to us as that sin is. Why? We can tell. What is wrong today? Why is the church so empty today? I tell you what, I know that you're healed, and I thank God for each one of you. Right now, I would not trade you seven tonight, this morning. I wouldn't trade you what we have here for a church that's got 100, 150 or 200 people. And people are here knocking on doors. Hey, knocking on doors, that's good. It really is soul winning. Knocking on doors. But are they truly soul winning? Are they really telling the people what they need to hear? Or are they just inviting them to church? And I think that's where we have went wrong in the last few years. We're so worried about getting the people in the church and get them into the church and get them to where they can come in and they can sing. They can have fellowship with us. And then the next thing you know, that I got down to the point that they just come in. They come in and they just like us. They just act like we do. They come in, they're saying, Victory in Jesus. Then I'm standing on the promises. They'll come in. But there is no conviction. Why? Because they done got settled. They done got settled into a place that nothing else bothers them. The Bible does not teach us that we must go out into the highways. God's word does not tell us that we must go out here and drag the people in church. God does not tell us about that we must go out and invite people to church. God teaches us that we must go out and preach the gospel. To who? To the sinner. And if we win them to the Lord out there, then when they come to church, then they know what that's all about. They can kind of, just fall in with us. Maybe they hadn't seen nobody here. Maybe they don't know any of us here. But they can come and they can just fall in. They can just come in and fall in. And when to do that, I've even known people, and I've had preachers to tell me that people come into the church where other people come and visit them outside and got saved, and then they come to the church. Preacher said, well, that's the thing you know. The end of the service. Be close, getting ready to close in prayer. A young boy. A teenager, or a young man, a young lady, will stand up and say, Preacher, I want to tell you one thing. And I want to tell the church one thing. I thank God for the individuals that God sent my way. Before I can get saved, and I got saved. They also told me, they also read over there, never to be ashamed of what Jesus has done to you. And they asked, this young man says, are you ashamed of what Jesus has done for you today? They said, no. They come in and they just fall in love with the people. Hey, they come in and when they, I think really when it comes to the point of saying, well, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. They say, well, if I get an opportunity to stand up for you, I'm going to do it. concerning separation, concerning sin, concerning soul winning. And each one of us is really not concerned enough for the church to help the church.
Y'all
waiting. Take care. We'll be praying for you. But, you know, I'm so thankful that any time that my wife, she'll fix me a cup of coffee in the morning. And she'll fix it and she'll put it in that tall cup. And I'll drink on it as long as it lasts. But then if I get too busy or too wrapped up in something else, I'll forget about the coffee. Then I'll eventually go back to the coffee and I'll want to take another sip of it, thinking it was hot. But it won't hot. It won't ice cold either. It was lukewarm. It had a little warmness there, but it had a little coldness there too. But it was lukewarm. I said, Shelby, I need some more coffee. You mean you didn't drink that? I said, well, no, I drank over half of it, but I was going to sip or something. That's kind of lukewarm. I don't like that. God don't like us when we're lukewarm. He wants to spew us out of his mouth. What he's saying, I believe here, is when he talks about, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, you're not cold. You're not saying to me that, hey, Lord, I know what you've done for me, but I'm through. I cannot go out again. I cannot work. I cannot do this. I've got other things that I have to do. I have to go and get me a job. I have to go and provide for my family. And we thank God for it. You understand God? We don't think God understands anything. Matter of fact, we don't even think God even knows anything. And the prayers that we go to him with. We say, well, God, you don't know what it is. You know what it is. God knows everything. God knows everything. We don't need to be lukewarm and concerning our obedience to him. The Bible says it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. We are called in grace to salvation by faith. We are commanded in love to serve the Spirit. We are commissioned in the heavenly grace. And we're also committed to the power that comes from Him. The lukewarmness concerning our praise to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let everyone that saith, breathe the breath of prayer, the breath of praise, the Lord. In Psalms 150, verse 6, and it's the last part of that verse, it says the Bible. It speaks about the Word of God. It speaks about what the Lord Jesus Christ done for us many, many years ago. And that I was on his mind that day. And I'm so thankful for that. I sure am glad that somebody remembered me. And it wasn't the people of the world. It was the Father. It was the one there in heaven that he was more concerned about my soul than my family, than my friends, than anyone else, even myself. And I thank the Lord for that. The last chapter in the book of the book of Psalms, 150. It's 150 chapters right here. And I was wondering that one time. Why is it 150 chapters? Why is it so long? Why is it so big of a book? Because within 150 chapters, we can read for all of God's blessings. For everything that God has for us and what he has promised us, we can find it here in these 150 verse chapters. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for the mighty act. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the porcelainous harp. Praise him with the cymbals and dance. And praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding of cymbals. Let everything. That means that we can think about this or that. No, but he's talking about everything, all of creation. That's what he's saying, of all of creation. Let all of creation that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When we're praising the Lord, what we're doing is trying to get in communication with him. Because he loves it when we praise him. He loves it when we lift our hands. He loves it when we say amen. You know, the people today, the young people today that's coming up, they don't even know what the word amen even means. They think that God just put it here. Just the end of verse, amen. But now what it says is, if the verse is read, and at the end of that verse, he's got amen. Then God said, you agree with me, don't you? You agree with me. You agree with the word. We need to be hot and not lukewarm towards the souls that's out here that's going to hell. And that's talking about the souls that are blinded by the things of this world. I know the things of this world can offer so much. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18 says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hands. The lukewarmness. before we die, the Lord is going to
say to us, say, you know, you've got some things you've got to answer for. And I'm not saying that you have to answer for everything that you've ever done in your life. I'm saying that what you have to answer for, you won't have to give an answer for the things that you have done since the day that you got saved. Since the day of the bornness, when you was born into the family of God, and when you trusted Him as your Savior, and when you could call God, the Jehovah God, the one that provides for everything for us, when you can honestly say to yourself, Father, I mean, what else can we ask for? What else do we need? What else do I need? I mean, I'm asking you. Don't answer. I'm not going to answer. Because I can tell you what I think I need. But that's what I think. I can also think about what you may need. But it's I wondered why a long time. Why did they ever come up with that word? Who come up with that word? But this. Well, we didn't have the word but. We wouldn't know anything about where we could go to God. God forgive me. But God. It ain't no but God. It's God. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask God now that you just be with each and every individual. And, Father, they come out today. And, Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness unto you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the love for the church that they have. And, God, and I pray for the upcoming Jubilee, Lord. I pray that you'll be with each and every preacher that comes and brings the word of God, that you'll give them the very words that our hearts in dire need of. Father, I'm in dire need of a blessing coming from thee on high. And Father, I know you bless me every day, but I need something from your precious word. I need something afresh and something anew that will stir me, Father. And Lord, we just pray, God, Father, that you will provide what needs to be provided for that week. For the people, Father, that you know that you would love to see in church, that we'd love to see in church. We'd love to see them come. Father, my prayer is that you'll just release the angels and you'll release the Holy Spirit upon each and every individual heart and just remind them, hey, there's something that's going on at Faith Baptist Church on 58 East. And yes, if they come and be a part of it, we never know what God has in store for them. And we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Well.